Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And please allow me to go before the throne of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, and we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's go to the Word here. I've entitled, if you have your cell phones, put them on the silent and opposition. I've entitled this evening's message, Whatever is not from faith is sin. What? Whatever is not from faith is sin. And we're going to expound not 17 through 17, but through 23. So I have to change that up there. But we're going to go through 15 through 23. So are we ready? Let's go. And it reads, Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So real quickly, what Paul is writing here, it's not just about food. But remember, the prior chapters and the prior verses was all about judging one another. And he's staying in this theme here, but he's using food, but also, look what it says right there. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace of the Holy Spirit. But there's a scripture in verse 16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken as evil. Okay. You know what that means right there? I had to look at that. It says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken as evil. In other words, don't give anyone room to speak anything bad about you. Can I get amen? Your character, the way you speak to them, the way you speak to others, the way you conduct yourselves. There should be no room for reproach. Can I get amen? If you're walking in the righteousness of Christ and you are mindful that, you know what, I want to respect others, and the way I want to be respected is I got to respect you the same way. Can I get amen? And so, for instance, you know, here's what I got out of this one verse right here, because it brought me back. Because we were going to read all 23, and we are. But this one just stood out right now. It says, therefore, do not let your good be spoken as of evil. Okay. You know what happens now in the church? I'm just going to hit on this and leave from there. But especially young adults, young teenagers, young adults, they're not worried about being seen together anymore alone. See, back in the day, you had a chaperone. Back in the day, man, you couldn't, you know, you shouldn't be with someone that wasn't your wife or husband. And now people are together now, as though they are together. And so what comes to mind when you see them everywhere? It says, don't let your what? Your good be spoken evil of. Because there's some people, you know what, may not think like you do. Oh, I know them. You know, they're friends. But someone may say, hey, you know what? They're always together. What are they doing? And there's no adult. There's no other third party there. And so just things like that, that's just one out of a million things that we should never let room for the devil to come in and speak ill toward us, right? In other words, we need to guard our hearts. We need to always guard our hearts and watch our conduct. Because others, guess what? Others are watching. You know, people are watching you, especially as soon as you proclaimed you're a Christian. They're watching you now. They're going like this. Let's see how long that person is going to still cry out to Jesus. They're going to look at you with binoculars. Oh, yes. And I still have family members. I still have there's people in my life that are still going like this. How long is this going to last? Huh? You don't give them room. The bottom line, don't give them any room to say anything. Be polite, be gentle. Speak good, and that's it. Look at verse 18. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which are one that may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. We're going to look at this. Verse 21 through 23, look at this. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Look at verse 22. Do you have faith? Paul asked that rhetorical question. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. This is where I got my topic. I always find my topic in the scriptures that we read. Amen. And that last scripture, it ends with, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So always remember, whatever task, whatever assignment God has given you, follow through on it. And have faith that God has called you. And believe that God's going to accomplish things in your life through you. Because he's in you. Can I get an amen? And if we start doubting God, guess what? It becomes sin. It becomes sin. Because he doesn't want you to doubt. He wants you to believe. Amen? So verse 15, here we go. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. So saints, if one believer has no scruples about where meat comes from or how it is prepared, but flaunts his or her belief in order to cause one who is concerned to be distressed, then the stronger individual is not acting in love. Did you catch that? Be careful on whatever your conviction is. Your conviction is not their conviction. Can I get an amen? I had a conversation with my brother over here. And you know what? I love how he put it. Is you ever seen a swim meet? You ever seen us when they're like in the Olympics, there's like 8 lanes? Okay. One touches the wall first. Right? The other ones are right behind. So the one that touched the wall first is the one that got there first and understands. So look at it in the spiritual sense. Some people understand the things of God. This one here doesn't yet get it until they get to the wall. They're still swimming. And so you can't critique them. You can't criticize. You got to wait. You got to wait till they come to that place. You may have got there. Okay, praise God. Thank God for that. But guess what? Don't condemn the other that's not there yet. Or according to your mind. According to your conviction. And Paul, that's what Paul is saying here. Be careful. Don't flaunt what God has given you. If God has given you great grace and knowledge and wisdom, help somebody. Don't tear others down. That's what he's saying here. Don't flaunt it. Help somebody. Help somebody get there. Look what Paul wrote in the Corinthian church. Look at this. And because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. This is what he's saying. Slow your roll. Don't punish someone that's not there yet. You know why? Because they'll get there. Eventually, they will get there. Can I get an amen? Amen? If you're trusting God for them, they'll get there. And let God deal with them. Let God deal with them. I'd rather just let God deal with them. You know why? Because he does a better job than me. Can I get an amen? There's nothing about getting advice or getting wisdom from one another, but to tear down someone and you go open your mouth and start tearing them down to their face, you're in trouble. They're not there yet. It's not. You it's not love. It becomes a religious spirit. Can I get amen? Help us, God. You see, the conduct of a stronger believers is not to be decided by what they feel is better. Insight into the scriptures or what they feel would strengthen those weaker ones. Look what Paul wrote further right here in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. This is, should be our goal. I want to help your well-being. Mind, body, and soul. I want to see you guys prosper. This is why God called me as a pastor, to help you. Don't worry. Listen, God will take care of my needs. I'm not in it. Oh, God, I'm doing this for you. No. Guess what? I've already learned years ago that once he makes a calling, it's your assignment now until he comes for you. Can I get amen? Don't complain. Just guess what? Many are called and few are chosen. Look how many people that are not serving him. We have to count it as thankful people. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be used in your kingdom. Look how many people that are not being used. Whoo, yes. That's right. They're on the fence. Or they won't want to leave the bench. Whoo, yeah. Oh, the first string, that's for them. No, it's for you. Jesus, help us. That's why in the NFL, one goes down, next man up. Next man up. This is what you train for. And guess what? God will equip us. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the call. So if he calls you, he will equip you. I'd rather have him equip me than have some cemetery and seminary equip me. Can I get an amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so look at that. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other well's being. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. God owns everything. He put everything for us to enjoy on this planet. He gave us enough water, enough food, plant, animals, whatever. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you, God. And to you vegetarians, okay. So what? Praise God. Keep eating your vegetable burger. It's okay. We're not gonna laugh at you. But don't laugh at the carton of the burrito either. You see, our decision should be decided by love and sensitivity to others. Can I get amen? The stronger believer must not let what he or she wants to do when it is a minor matter, such as whether to eat that or not that. God, see, Paul's using an analogy just with food alone. That some people make a mountain out of a molehill. You know that? People will make something more than it is. It could be a little kindle of fire, and then someone wants to come by and make it a wildfire. Help us, God. Listen, if Christ gave his life for that person, surely no believer has the option to ruin him because if they choose to eat this food and not that food or whatever the case may be. They may like red. Some people like red. Some people don't like red. So what? That's God has given us that choice. Can I get amen? Amen. Yeah. Thank you, God. So let's move on now to verse 16 of Romans chapter 14. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. I touched on that earlier. You see, mature Christians shouldn't flaunt their freedom. Otherwise, they might be condemned for something that is all right simply because they're doing it to destroy another. Just watch out for agendas. Watch out. Even if you know something that's, you have a righteous indignation about something, be careful, because as we just mentioned, that person may not be there yet. Go slow. Especially someone in the household of faith. Unbelievers, you know their role already. They can't hear, they can't see. They're see no evil, hear no evil, speak no. They just unbelieving. No matter what you say, they're not going to hear you. But a believer is different. It's a child of God. And so God looks down on us on how we care for one another, especially in the household of faith, especially under the same household of the same umbrella we're under. And he holds the leaders and the elders and the deacons and the pastors accountable. Can I get amen? And so Peter wrote this, look at this, in 1 Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Meaning, when the Lord comes back and he says, hey, were they mean to you or good to you? And if you've been good to them, God's going to say, you know what, I'm going to defend them. They were good to you. You had the bad heart against them. God will judge, right? In the day of visitation. He sees everything. Be careful. Be careful when you do this. Psst, 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 psst. Hey, psst, psst, psst. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Mature believers, saints of God, as I mentioned, should be sensitive to younger converts whose faith can be destroyed by such freedom. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 9:19. Look at this. For though I am free from all men, this is Paul saying, look at this. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all. Remember, this guy, he was the original drive-by. He was the one that apprehended the believers. He's the one, when he was Saul of Tarsus, man, this guy was an enemy to the cross. He was an enemy to the way. Because that's what born-again believers were called back then. Their group was called the way. Look at this. I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. You see that? If you're conducting yourself in an honorable way, you're going to win some to Christ. They're going to see that and be drawn to you. And you're going to lead them to the wells of salvation. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this. That I may win more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I may win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I may win those who are under the law. Look at that. See, Paul had wisdom. You know what the wisdom was for? Not for himself. Was to win others to Christ. What little crevice can God show you that you can just go through that little door that he has opened for you to go in and win them? To tell them about the goodness of God. Look at verse 21. To those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I may win those who are without law. Look at this. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might, what? By all means save some. Amen. Isn't that something? Amen. That sure is. My goodness. I call him the great chameleon. You know, a chameleon can change its colors. They can camouflage. Well, guess what? Just learn to respect others. You know why? Because you may win one of them. Especially those, you know, that don't, you know, they just have they don't even know why they don't like Christ, but they don't like Christ, or they don't like Christians, or whatever. Or they grew up in a religion, or they could be Muslim or Hindu, whatever the case may be. But if they look at your life long enough, and they know who you are, you're going to provoke them to jealousy. Meaning, they're going to want what you have because you got joy. They see and feel the anointing of God coming out of you. And you have something that they don't have. So he became like all men so I can win some. That's what the scripture says right here. Now this I do for the gospel's sake. It's not for anyone's sake, but the what? The word of God, the preaching of the word, that I may be partaker of it with you. Wow. Wow. It was all about souls. To Paul, it was all, once he got saved, it was all about souls. It was no longer him that lived, but Christ who lives in him. And that should be our model. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's the hope of glory.
That's right.
Look at this. For example, a young Christian addicted to gambling may be damaged by our freedom to play cards. Some activities may be all right in and of themselves, but not around weaker new converts. Listen, don't bash them on the head. One day they're gonna stop going to the casinos. You know what? Listen, when you first got saved, there were still things that we did that we didn't know that, okay, we're not supposed to do this no more. Oh, come on. What happened to you on Salvation Day? God filled you with the Holy Ghost. He changed you, gave you eternal life right then and there. But there were still things you had to learn. Can I get an amen? You didn't get it all overnight. You didn't get all the Christianese things from overnight from Amazon. Here's a USB. Just plug it in your ear, and now you can be like the best of them. No, come on. We had to learn. We had to grow. Some of us had to trip and fall down. Some of us had to be corrected at times. And the corrections I got all the time were from God. It was from him himself. He took me to the whooping shed a couple times. And I didn't like it there. That's right. Because he loves you. He loves me. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 17 of Romans chapter 14. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see that? How now he's making it clear. It's not about the food, but it's about what? Living in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many of you love the joy of the Lord? Come on. He made us to experience real joy. True joy. Not Disneyland joy. You know, Disneyland, you could get happy. That's about it. But you can't get real joy from that. Joy comes from the Holy Ghost. Because it's internal from the Spirit of God. It's in there. Man, he just ignites in you. And man, you can't comprehend it. You can't explain it to no one other than that he's filling your whole being with joy unspeakable and full of glory. After all, says Paul, if we let these little scruples become major points of contention, we have forgotten what the kingdom of God is all about. Remember, he said, unless you become a child, you can, yes, and a child wants to learn and grow. They don't stay a child. Can I get amen? But when we come to the kingdom, we must have that kind of attitude. Oh God, teach me. Be teachable. A child should be teachable. Can I get amen?
Yes.
They want to learn. You know, I've heard it said many times throughout 17 years of pastoring, little kids that come to the Sunday school for the first time, second time, they keep telling their parents, I want to come back to Sunday school. Well, it's because they love the things of God. Because they have a pure heart. They haven't what been exposed to the pollution as us adults. And they love to sing to Jesus.
Yeah, they do.
All they want to do is talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
He's going to be praising him soon. Little Elliot will. Yes, he will. And so this has nothing to do with eat or drink. Paul was saying that. It is living a life of goodness and peace in the Holy Spirit. That should be your ultimate goal. Is to live in peace with God and to live in peace with one another. And when you come together in the unity of the faith, to experience the joy of the Lord. I look at it like this. When you put a hibachi together, you put a whole bunch of coals, and then you soak it with what? The lighter fluid. Let it soak, and then you light it up, and then all of a sudden it becomes a big, huge burning of coals that is hot. Then you can throw the meat on, right? You can see the fire underneath. You can see it's turning red, right? But when you take one out and set it aside, it'll start cooling off, right? This is why we need each other. Because when we come together, we bring the fire of God. Hallelujah. Just look at when we come together in the unity of the faith, it's like a hibachi burning. You come prayed up, filled with the Holy Ghost, you come together, everyone's filled. Man, my goodness, his presence will saturate the room. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. But look what Jesus said in Matthew 6:31. Look at this. Matthew 6:31 through 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need and all these things. How many believe that God already knows everything that you need? From the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb until the day you close your eyes here on earth. He's the one that opened your eyes. He's the one that's going to close your eyes. Can I get an amen? And so from within that time span, he knows everything that you need. Praise God. And as believers now, we just need more of him and less of me. Can I get amen? But look at verse 33 right up here. But seek, say that with me. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, you cannot do anything about what's going to happen tomorrow. And guess what? You can't do anything that was done yesterday. But you can do something about anything today. And today, we just have a made-up mind to worship him and praise him and to glorify God. And I hope that your day was awesome today. I woke up today after my wife made a wonderful breakfast. She makes these little nice little breakfasts. I go back there and I get in the Word. I'm just praying and asking God to give me illumination for the teaching. I spent hours back there just, God, speak to me. I want to seek your kingdom first. I want to know what you want me to say tonight, God. Lord, and it's not for my sake, but for the saints that come out and those who are watching. It's all about dying to self and building someone else. Amen. You've come here to grow, to be edified, to be built up, to hear the word of God. Amen. And that's what God calls pastors around the world to do. Thank you, Jesus. We're just doing what he's called us to do. And there should be a joy in doing it. It should never be, oh man, I got to do this again. Then you know what? If you feel that way, don't even do it. Don't even do it no more if you feel that way. There should be an expectation of joy that someone today may see something that was always there but didn't see it before. So that they can get revelation out of the Word and illumination from the Spirit. Amen? Arguing over scruples does not contribute to that. Believers need to be concerned for themselves with doing what is right in the essentials, maintaining harmony, and sharing God's joy, not enforcing their scruples and lifestyles on others. You can't make someone like what you like or expect someone to walk like you are walking. You just pray that someday God will get them to the place where God wants them to be. Amen? And leave that alone. Let God be God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So let's move on to verse 18 of Romans chapter 14. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. And so those who serve Christ by doing right before God, maintaining peace among all the believers and sharing joy with others are the ones who will accomplish the acceptable service unto the Lord. And it will please God and also please the people. When you got yourself lined up with God and lined up with men and women, guess what? God will use you and he will flow through you. Thank you, God. And that's what we should desire. We should desire those things. Why? Because Paul spoke to the Colossian church. Look at this right up here regarding this. In Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it what? Angrily. Do it bitterly. No. Oh, no. Do it heartily. Do it with your heart. As to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. How many want to receive God's inheritance? Well, when you serve God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and you do it because you're serving him and you love his people, this is what the reward. You'll get an inheritance. Listen, I'd rather receive what God has for me than what someone here on earth has left for me. Because that thing will still remain here when we go. Even if they give you a house, can't take the house with you. Thank you for the temporary dwelling. But when it's time to go, you're gone. But he will give you an inheritance. Christ will. Look, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no what? No partiality. In other words, there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. God has no favorites. Can I get amen? Amen. He has no favorites. If you do good, you get blessed. You do bad, you'll see that you get punished or rewards taken away. Oh, God, help us. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Look at this. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all in the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. In other words, do it with your heart. Serve the Lord and him only. Can I get amen? Forget about what man will give you. I don't care what man gives me. I rather care what God will give me. That God will see that he says this to me on that day. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Those are the words I want to hear. I want to hear nothing else. So let's go to verse 19. of chapter 14, and it reads, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things which one may edify with another." Did you catch that? So what does that say to you, saints, tonight? It's about building one another. It's about edifying one another. It's about your concern is just as important as your own concern. Can I get an amen? You want to see that person grow. You want to see that person thrive. You want to see that person succeed. I was talking to my daughter today. She's in Arkansas. And she goes, "Dad, guess what? Guess who Ben ran into?" This is my grandson, Ben. First year in college. You know, he played many hours on that keyboard, and they thought that he was going to go to Nashville and pursue music there. But there, one of the professors said, "It's $250,000 for 4 years, and there is no guarantee that you'll have a job when you're done." So, that, yeah. $250,000 just to go to a university there in music. So, the one, he's like a producer, writer in the Christian world. He knows all the genres. He's like the key guy. Matter of fact, he's going to be at the K-Love Awards. It turns out that his big church in Dallas, there's like 10,000 that attends that church in Dallas. He was in Arkansas to go see my son Anthony because he's been buying Onyx coffee for my son. And when Ben was in Onyx at that time and saw the guy, goes, "Oh man, that's the guy that everyone talks about in the Christian world, you know, in music. He's a guy, he knows Kirk Franklin, he knows everyone. He knows C.C. Winer, he knows every genre." And so Ben told his friend, I go, "I'm going to go just introduce myself." So he walked up, Ben introduced himself. Then they just started chatting. And the chat went on for about almost 30 minutes. And he goes, "I'm here." Ben goes, "Why are you here?" He goes, "I'm here to see this guy named Bear that we've been by." He goes, "That's my uncle. Anthony." He was talking about Anthony. He goes, "So son, what do you do?" And then Ben told him that he was a piano player, that he wanted to be a worship leader, but he couldn't afford to be in Tennessee in that college over there because it's $250,000. He goes, "How many years are you locked in here in Arkansas?" Because Ben is attending the University of Arkansas. He goes, "I have 4 years." He goes, "Well, during that time, you're going to have breaks here and there. Here's my number. You call me." He goes, "I'm going to have you come to Dallas, and I'm going to put you in many churches, and you're going to lead worship for them." He goes, "I'm going to bless." He goes, "I want to be a blessing to you." It was like a divine appointment for Ben. I didn't have a chance to share that with Yolanda because she was out the door to Dollar Tree. I'm telling you, open door. It was like a conversation that just like it was, how do you run into the guy?
What's his name?
Bill, I forget his last name, but he knows all of them, Phil Wickham. He knows all the genres. He's the one that puts things together. He's in charge of all the record labels, concerts. He is the guy in Christian music. He's not a performer. He's a producer. He's a producer.
Amen.
And it was not a coincidence. And he fell in love with Ben. He goes, "Man, I love your spirit, man." He goes, "Here's my number. You call me. I'm going to have you worship in our church. And I'm going to have you worship in many other churches when you have the time to do that." And you, he goes, yeah, and you never know what God's going to do with you, son. Wow.
That's a Quincy Jones of Christian.
Yes. He's the, put it, look at it like that. The Quincy Jones of Motown. You know how he was like Motown? Well, he's in all genres. And this guy is the guy. And he was there to meet Bear, because their church is buying Onyx Coffee. They love it. And they were just there for about maybe a day, because his two daughters, this guy Bill, his two daughters are looking to what college he wants to put them in. Either University of Arkansas or Dallas. They're going to go visit two other places, and they're all Ben's age. Wow. It's like, wow. Only God. That was a God thing. Jesus. Woo, Jesus. Thank you, God. I had to share that, saints. I'll get back to the study now. Verse 19, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which may edify one another. And they were edifying one another. Look at this. Look what I found. Well, Paul wrote this in Hebrews. Because Christ died to free us. Can I get amen? Amen. And to deliver. What did he save us from? Yes. He delivered us from judgment. We were all headed to judgment. And he came to save us from judgment. Look what I found in Hebrews 12:12. Look at this. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, meaning someone that's going through, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Wow. No one will see the Lord. Look at this. Looking diligently, verse 15, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. When you get angry and you're hostile towards someone, you defile yourself with God. Look at this. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food, he sold his birthright. Oh my gosh. Look at verse 17. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Why? For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. What? You know what? That brought me back when I read that today and a couple days ago, because it came back to me again today as I was finalizing this. Where it says, for he found no place for repentance, and though he sought it diligently with tears. Be careful when you pray for someone at the altar and they're crying. Just because they're crying doesn't mean they've repented. I like how my brother said, when they apprehend a perpetrator, a thief, and they throw him in the back of the car. You're not crying because you did this evil. You're crying because you got caught. You got caught. And if you wouldn't have got caught, you would still be doing it. Be careful for those who are coming up. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And you can't judge them. You just pray for them. But if there's true repentance, there'll be true change. See, we're not to judge them. Can I get amen? But the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, goodness. See, the Holy Spirit has its fruit. There's no room for bitterness and anger and clamor and evil thinking and judging and bitterness and anguish and futile thinking. There's no room for that. If you're filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, goodness, there should be no room for the other. And so be careful, because look, Esau had tears and he was still rejected by God because he didn't repent. And his heart, guess what? He was probably saying, I'm glad I killed my brother. But I want the blessing, God. Are you catching that tonight? Be careful what you ask God. If you haven't yet, let that go. My. Ooh, help us, God. You see, God alone is our judge. Can I get an amen? For any believer to claim to have the authority to tell others how they should think or act in matters of opinion is to usurp the position that Christ alone holds. He's wearing the robe, not us. Can I get amen? Amen. How many so blessed to know that I'm glad he's the robe wearer, not us? Hallelujah. Let's move on to verse 20 of Romans chapter 14. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Saints, food and our feelings about it, or any scruples that are not specifically condemned in Scripture, are not worth arguing about. So whatever, like I said, whatever your conviction is, don't convict someone else. Wait till they get there. God will show them. Listen, God knows exactly how to work in our heart. And he does a better job than I can do. He does a better job than you could do. Can I get amen? These should never be allowed to tear down other believers or to tear the church apart. Let's look at Corinthians. How Paul, the apostle, addresses in the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 10:22. Look at this. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Look at this. Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edifying. See, there are some things that God allows you to do, but for someone else, But don't get mad at them. Don't get mad at them. God deals with them in his own way. Can I get an amen? God knows how to free us all by himself. Thank you, God. It is wrong, saints of God, for one believer to insist on his or her freedom when it causes others to stumble. So let's move on to verse 21 of Romans chapter 14. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So if it causes someone to fall, then put it aside for the other's sake. Mature believers, saints of God, hear me clearly on this. Mature believers must not eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that it may cause another Christian to stumble. You know, I've heard this debate, and people would come to me, well, what do you think about drinking? What do you think about smoking? What do you think about this and that? You know how I answer that? Because I could tell them, oh man, you know, I got scriptures on that, or this and that. But I always reflect it to this. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So glorify God in your body. Do what glorifies God. Not what others think that how you should act or anything. I go, we're the temple. So someone go, well, what about people that smoke and they're believers? I said, well, you know what? Then they must want to see God faster than you. Because I understand it gives you cancer, right? Cigarettes give you cancer. Well, maybe they want to see God quicker than you. But I can't condemn them. All I can say is, if you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, then honor God. So that person needs to go to God and say, God, does this honors you? And let God speak. God can speak all by himself. I can say, man, that's enough, man. That, you know. And then you'll get this from a young believer. Who do you think you are? Who are you? Remember last week? Was it last week or the other week? I got two prophets call upon me when I wanted to go out. God had to speak to me. He had to speak to me because he saw that I was going to fall. Because in my heart I wanted to. In my heart, man, I was going, man, this is my moment. It's been 10 years. And God said, no, I got to go save this boy's bacon. That's when I knew it was God. Because there was no cameras in my room. We had no ID caller. There was no texting. I didn't even know. I just picked the phone because it rang. You know, all it was push buttons. That was it. You didn't have no ID caller, none. So whoever called you, just picked up the phone. Hello? But the nail in the coffin for me was opening the door, and there's Ernie Gonzalez standing outside the other side of my front door. Just standing there. Wow. That was like more than the boogeyman. I think our beloved pastor knows him. Come on, look at that. Me and Ernie would pass out tracts. His ministry was called By God's Grace. I still have t-shirts and sweatshirts of, it was a hand from heaven with nails and blood dripping down, and then the blood drips, and then there was two hands down below that was chained. They had shackles on. And the blood would hit the center of the chain, and it was explosion because of the blood by God's grace. And I remember his little slogan, God is not confined in the church, but flowing in the streets. Because, man, he loved to hit the streets. He was a street evangelist, and we would go together all the time. I used to just hold his coat sometimes. He'd be on the corner just preaching. And I would just be there with him. I was like his armor bearer. But it taught me something. It taught me to be bold. Be bold like this, brother. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Ernie. God had to send Samuel and Nathan. Big time. Thank you, God. He didn't send one, he sent two. Mm-mm-mm. That's when you know that's God telling you something. So, it is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Now, Paul wrote this. Look at this. For I am free in 1 Corinthians. For I am free from all men. I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. So it was all about winning, not offending. Can I get amen? Let your life be about winning. Winning, not offending. We are to win those. Can I get again amen? Look at this. I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. All these things. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 22. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Look at this. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. You know, that's one thing that our mind does very, very good. Sometimes we can condemn our own heart. It's like, why are you still moping about that? I just freed you. You're free. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. I just freed you. Yeah, but you know, I'm still holding. No. He's eradicated it. He's washed you in the blood. He's delivered you. But, oh, no, but you don't understand. Yes, he does understand. That's why he went to the cross. To pay for that sin that was committed against you. Thank you, God. God knows. And there's scripture to back up what I just said. It's right here in 1 John 3. Look at this. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. You see, your own heart can condemn you. But if it doesn't condemn you, now you have confidence in God. But when someone keeps coming to the altar all the time with the same, oh man, pray for this. And there's the same thing repeated over and over again. Guess what? You didn't believe he freed you the first time. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence in God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. The only reason why our hearts condemn us is if we go back to that same vomit. Are you hearing me clearly? God said it's like a dog going back to his vomit when you go back and repeat that sin again after he's delivered you from it. Whoo, man. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. We need to do things that are pleasing in his sight. Those bothered by some actions should not be judging or condemning those with freedom to serve and to honor him. Nor should they be trying to force their scruples on the entire church because of your one conviction. Listen, if God has shown you a revelation to conduct yourself, praise God. That's what he wanted you to know for you. But others are not there yet. So you pray for them that they will get there. You've heard me say it like this. You know what? God catches the fish, and then we try to scale them. And if we try to scale the fish, sometimes we cut too deep and it bleeds. And then they run. Because you cut too deep. You got to have grace with them. Help them get there. Can I get an amen? Especially the newbies. Now, you've been walking for 10 years. Something's wrong. Then you got to pray for deliverance. Can I get an amen? So, oh, God, I need now to be delivered. Thank you, God. So, a lot of times it's this. Is when you have God's wisdom, he allows you now to operate in the kingdom of God by his grace and by the way he would want you to conduct yourself. And if you don't have that wisdom yet, Bible says ask him. What do you mean? Yeah, right here, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask of God, who gives to all what? Liberally. And without reproach, he wants to give you the wisdom. He wants to help you. He wants to see you grow God takes joy and glory when you understand and start understanding the things of God. Look at this. Who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven, tossed by the wind. Wow! Some people are tossed back like this. Well, I thought you got it. Yeah, but I'm over here now. Ask God for wisdom. He wants to help you. How many believe he wants to help you? Yes, he does. You see, instead, saints of God, all believers should seek a clear conscience before God. The believers who do so are blessed. And they do not condemn themselves by doing something they know that it's right. When you know it, God has given you the green light, you're not going to be condemned about it. It's going to please God for doing the will of God. This person has a good but not insensitive conscience. Praise God. And so we're going to look at our last verse tonight before we close. And that's verse 23 of Romans 14 as we close out chapter 14. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Wow. Saints, if a believer does something that he or she has doubts about, whether it is right or wrong, that action will bring condemnation. It'll condemn you. That's why James said it best right up here. Look, James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Whoa. Just do the things that please God. It ain't sin to you. And this is the supporting scripture on Romans 14:23, where it says, for whatever is not from faith is sin. It's found in Hebrews 11:6. Look at this. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. You got to really, truly, diligently seek him. You know, those people that are crying out, and you know that old saying back in Pentecostal and apostolic churches, oh, you need to tarry. Remember tarrying? You need to go tarrying. No, you got to just diligently seek him. Seek him. Say, oh God, you guys knew exactly how I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I had to kick those things out of my heart. They were on top of my heart. Sports was number one. I had to move them out of the way. I said, Christ, I want you to be number one. As soon as I put Christ there on the seat of my heart, boom, that's where the Holy Ghost came. Because I truly wanted to seek him. And he will bless you. Seek him. Just seek him. Can I get amen? Just seek him with your whole heart. Believers ought to try to steer clear of actions forbidden by Scripture. Of course, but sometimes Scripture is silent. There are some things that are silent. So that's why your convictions shouldn't be somebody else's convictions. Can I get amen? There are some things that are silent. And so let God show you exactly what's good for you. And we should follow our conscience. To go without conviction will leave a person with a guilty or an uneasy conscience. We need to have conviction in our life. But it's for us. Our conviction is for us. Can I get amen? It can't be for you. I'm going to put it in the simplest terms. I know a good friend. He loves roll tacos like I do. But I love a whole bunch of guacamole on them. He hates guacamole. So he eats them dry. Is that sin? No. That's his preference. That's his preference. I'm not going to condemn him from that. All I know is every bite I take is good. It's good. When God shows us that something is wrong for us, we should avoid it then. He'll show you. Can I get amen? We're going to close with this. We're going to close in Matthew 14. Matthew 14, 28. Look at this. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. They were having a big storm on the Sea of Galilee. And they all thought they were going to perish. And then they thought they saw a ghost. But it was Jesus walking on the water. And then he called for Peter. Said, Peter, step out of the boat and walk to me. Now let me ask you this. Because we've been on the Sea of Galilee. And the last time we were there, I never saw a storm there. But honey, didn't it look like an ocean? Like it was like swells like this. Sister Vera, you remember that? You were there with us. It was like this. It was like this. I never saw the sea. The Sea of Galilee, you know, normally is calm, peaceful. Now I knew why they thought they were going to. They were in these little makeshift, homemade little boats. I'm talking little boats that maybe six tops could fit on one. But look what it says. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. What went wrong here? He was walking. He was looking at the elements around him. And he took his eyes off of Jesus. And that could happen to us. If we're not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that could happen to us. In verse 31, look at this. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And there we go. We're no different from Peter. We're no different. Let me just say this. If he has delivered you from certain sins in your past, if he has delivered you from illnesses from the past, if he has delivered you from financial burden in the past, if he has done great and mighty things relational with other people in your life, don't you think he could do it again? Or did he just do it that one time? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But every time we come across a brand new element, a brand new challenge, we forgot what he did. And we got to say, oh man, here we go again. But God, you're with me. God, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. Oh God, you said, hallelujah, that you are my shield and buckler. When's the last time you started praising him in your dilemma? Sometimes you have to praise your way out. Sometimes you just have to worship him in the most fiercest circumstances of life. And you worship him and you praise him and you glorify him and you magnify him, hallelujah, until something will change. Because change will come. He's just looking to you. Wait a minute. When did you stop believing what I can do? And start believing that he can do it again. Remember, he's the God that can do. And he wants to do those things in your life. But we can't be like Peter. He took his eyes off of Jesus. And so help us, God. Help us when we come to places that we don't understand sometimes, that we need God to see us through. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for this chapter. And Lord, many years ago when I read this chapter, I used to think it was all about food. And I didn't know how to deal with it. But it's not about food. It's about the character of the heart. It's all about the issues of the heart. And how we respond is what matters to you, God. Help us, oh God, to respond that would please you, God. Help us be slow to speak, oh God. Give us ears to hear others when they cry, oh God. Give us wisdom and understanding to help our brother, our sister that may be stuck in the mud. Instead of condemning them, we need to go there and give them a helping hand and say, through God, all things are possible. Remind each other that God, you're with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And lo, you'll always be with us. I'm praying right now for those who may be logged in. You may be logged in right now and just stumbled onto our website and you're saying, wow, I need God. Well, guess what? We were there. We all were there at one time. We needed God. And so, it's simple. You don't have to go to a seminary. You don't have to do 100,000 hours of Bible study. Right where you're at, by faith, call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved, the Bible says. Just like that. Is that simple? Is that man makes it? Religion makes it complicated, but God makes it simple. And while you're listening to my voice, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can enter into the joy of the Lord. You too can have peace that surpasses all understanding. You too will have the eternal security that God has saved you from judgment into eternal life. And if that's what you want, if that's what you need, pray this simple prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this simple prayer with me by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, forgive me, God, for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, is he worthy? Yeah, we serve a worthy, an honorable, an awesome God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.